Hello and welcome to Pyro Toasty Talks. As usual, I am Brian and I am here with Zona.
Hello.
From BZ Furfur. And we have a returning guest today.
Woo!
Basha from Woodburn Corner. Say hi, Basha.
Hello, everyone.
So, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
From up in Toronto. The topic today we're going to be talking about is PPE. So we have...
Personal protective equipment.
I think everybody knows what PPE is after COVID. Like, nobody knew what it was before COVID. And then after COVID, like, everybody was an expert on it.
Well, they think they're an expert on it.
Well, I mean... They know what, like, N95 masks are, and they know...
N95s, yes. Well, yes, but, I mean, they know it in terms of the N95, but that's not necessarily... They don't know what it means. Well, let me rephrase. In terms of what it means to a pyrographer, I think it's really important to have the conversation in terms of pyrography and... Also, in conjunction with that, with this episode, we're also going to be giving away two masks from RZ Masks,
from our friends in RZ Masks.
Well, guess what?
Thunder.
Well, that's too bad. You had that Thunder
last
night.
I was going to make a big announcement.
But you did that last time. I want the Thunder this time.
You got to announce the winner last time.
No, you announced the winner last time.
You did
time.
The drum roll.
I did the drum roll, but you got to announce the winner. My turn. So, nah. So, our friends at RZ Masks have agreed to, once again, give away two more masks. So, we are going to do a giveaway, another giveaway.
Thank you, RZ Masks, for being so generous.
Yes.
You guys are the best.
RZ Masks is pretty rad. I have to tie in COVID here for a second because during the pandemic, I rocked my RZ mask everywhere, and I felt really cool because everyone's wearing these like diapers on their face, and I'm wearing this nice sleek. Right?
Yeah.
And then the RZ mask is just so sleek, and like the shape of it is really, really nice, and it's a beautiful mask. So I felt pretty cool.
Yeah.
I found the RZ mask also during COVID, and I remember walking around with it, and I was just like. Oh, everybody's got the not so cool mask. And I remember thinking, like, everybody had, like, the thin mask, the regular cloth mask. And I was walking around with this, like, heavy-duty mask. And everybody's, like, turning around looking at me like, she's got, like, the mask. And I was just like, oh, I'm not getting sick.
Yep.
Yeah, you are. No, I wasn't thinking you are, but, you know. I was just like, yeah, I'm definitely going to rock this mask.
Always a pleasure when they support us.
Yes.
When they do such generous offerings for our faithful listeners. Just going to pull it out of a hat?
Yeah.
All right. You heard it here first, folks. We're pulling your names out of a hat.
That's what I was saying. I was just thinking about just making it nice and simple. Submit and they'll just randomly pull a name out of the hat. Well, two names. Give me two names out of the
hat. Out of a mask.
Out of a mask, yes. That's what we're going to do. Oh, we should do that live.
We can.
We should. We should do that live.
All righty.
That'll be fun.
We should do that live, like... You pull one out of a mask, and I'll pull one out of a mask.
Yes,
that's what we're gonna do.
All right, awesome. So,
how can we plan this on the fly?
This is good. This is good. This is what people tune in for.
This is great.
This is exactly how we do a lot of our stuff. We're just on the fly. How are we doing this?
All right, y'all getting the peek behind the curtain. I'm gonna be the play the typical dumb non pyrographer and ask the question. So, why a mask? Why not just open up a window? Why not just, turn on a fan? Why have all of this extra kind of equipment when you're burning?
Well, I mean, technically, you could just open a window and you could just use a fan. Is part of it. I mean, we suggest do it near a window with a fan. The more ventilation that you can have, the better. Because it is smoke, it is fumes. I mean, even if you can't see the smoke, you can't see the sizzle. It's still burning. It's in the name, wood burning. Truthfully, I mean,
Yeah, it's true.
even over, over time, it's a buildup in the lungs. And you are the main tool. It's about breathing. You only have one set of lungs.
It's
Protect your
bad for your
lungs.
eyes too,
Yeah.
if it's going into your eyeballs, and a lot of people tend to lean over
Oh
their work
yeah.
and or
Yes.
like those people who like to be ultra close.
Yes. Yes.
So fumes are fumes.
Yeah, and it does depend. I remember when I first started, and it also depends on what kind of wood that you're burning. If it sizzles, I mean, there's just so many factors, like how hot you burn, and if it starts smoking. I know that. Because I burn hot, turning up the heat and it's smoking, and sometimes you just have to get over the piece because that's the only way you're gonna see it. And I've had smoke go in my eyes, and it's just that's just wicked because it does burn. It burns my eyes, and then it's my nose, and it's a headache. It's guaranteed headache, and it's And I already suffer from migraines, so it's just terrible. And it's the kind of migraine that even my prescription medication doesn't help. It doesn't get rid of it, and I am down. I'm going to be suffering for a couple of days with it.
So, you mentioned keeping the smoke out of your eyes. Now, I would imagine the best way to do that would be with like a pair of goggles. But I also would think that wearing goggles might kind of obscure your vision. I mean, when you're working on something that requires this kind of intricate level of detail, how do you kind of balance being able to work on these very meticulous pieces, but also, like wearing protective equipment? I know sometimes if I have like a mask on and I have my regular glasses on, they'll get fogged up from, from my breath. So like, how do you kind of balance the use of these tools and still be productive in your workflow?
Well, first when Zona mentioned the fan, it should be pointing away from you. And so the majority of the smoke should be sucked away. You don't want to point it at it because it'll cool down your nib and also just spread around the fumes. So when your fan, just any fan, the smaller, I feel like the more closer you can get it without it being bulky and annoying. Pointing away and pointing into something that is either a window or a filter of some sort, like an air purifier. And ideally, it should have a carbon filter, which the masks will have, which we can touch on later. But essentially, if that smoke is being captured and pulled away from you, then you're not, it's not coming up in your face. And so if you're wearing glasses, I wouldn't wear goggles personally. That's a little too much. But I don't lean directly over it. I don't lean super close to it, and I really make sure my fan is close enough to, like, I can see the smoke rising and then being pulled away. So it should be all pulled away, and then that should be pointing into something bigger.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I wear glasses anyway, so even if it does smoke, My glasses do a pretty good job of protecting my eyes. I mean, I have the mask on and then I've got my glasses and it protects my eyes enough. I mean, if it does smoke enough that it's coming up, I have the fan. I have the from razor tip. But I also have a fume fan also that they both have the carbon filter. I have a bigger one also. I mean, if I really need it, I also have an air purifier next to me. So like I've got
Same.
all the things to help with the fumes and the smoke. I tried them with with goggles once just to try it, and that was personally that was terrible. Like it was what I mean, it was like one of those cheap goggles. So I just tried it to try it just to see. That was not something I would plan to try ever again.
Do you ever worry that like sparks or anything? Like you said, some people work really close up. I know we have a friend. It wasn't working with wood burning. It was working with resin, where she actually lost her eyesight because of
Yes.
the resin spraying up in her eye.
Wow.
If it's sparking, there are other issues going on if it is sparking.
Yeah, shouldn't be sparking.
Yeah,
Well, if
you're
you
right.
buy those $8 wood burners off of Amazon, it might be.
And again,
That's part of the safety talk. Don't
exactly.
buy those burners.
I wouldn't necessarily say don't buy the burner. What I will say is that if it's sparking, don't use it. If it's melting, don't use it. If it's shutting off on you randomly, I mean, if it's any kind of like safety, like electrical safety issue, probably shouldn't use it. If it's fraying, if you can see the wires, don't use it.
If the voltage doesn't match where you live,
Exactly.
don't
Don't
use
use
it.
it.
Don't, even
Well,
a transformer might not.
I was gonna ask if you can use those transformers.
It's you can, but it's not a guarantee. It's the
I heard that there's like a specific kind of transformer that you're supposed to use. I am not an electrician, so I don't want to speak with any kind of authority about that. But someone did say that you can use a transformer, but it has to be a very specific kind of transformer. Again, if you are an electrician and you're listening to this, please
Tell
write
us.
us. Yes, write us and tell me if what that person told me is true, because that is actually I'm kind of interested to know. For my own curiosity, because I'm nosy, if that is true, because they told me that there's specific kind of transformers for different kind of electrical things, and I was just like, I did not know that. I thought it was like one kind of transformer, and that's it. I was just like, oh, I didn't know there were like heavy duty ones apparently, like for big machines, and then there's like for like smaller machines, and I was just like, oh, I just thought one transformer.
Yeah.
Like goes to
Also,
show what I know.
if you're digging through your attic and you find grandpa's old wood burner from the, from the 1960s, maybe leave that one in the attic
Maybe test it safely. Like take a good look
outdoors.
at it. Yeah, take a good look at it before you.
Keep a fire extinguisher nearby.
Yes. Oh well,
Yeah.
you should probably have a mini fire extinguisher near you anyway, because things happen.
Depends what you're burning on, yeah, and
Yeah.
depends how hot you're burning, and just going back to the sparking,
Yeah.
because some wood, maybe if it's the way it's sanded and it has little flakes, or maybe it's not, maybe there's like little pieces that are sticking out and they get hot, they can maybe glow or like spark a tiny bit, but it shouldn't be more than like a split second, and it should go out on its own. Like if you're creating actual fire here, then you need to reassess.
Yes. Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I mean, I've burnt stuff and went, ooh. Like,
Yeah.
there's that, ooh.
But then it's done.
Exactly. It's just
Yeah.
like a,
Just
like
moment.
a, like a.
You also sometimes use butane torches.
Yes, but that's
That's different.
different than what we're referring to. Like, I mean, I've used my razor tip and burned through a piece of wood and then hit a like a resin spot that I didn't even know was in the wood. And it's kind of, I've had like a poof of smoke, a poof of flame, and it's just like, oh, I didn't know that was going to be there. And it's just like, oh, okay. But it's just a almost like a mini flash flame. And that's one thing, right? And then there's, oh my God, where's the fire extinguisher, right? And there should
Like when,
never be a, where's the fire extinguisher?
yeah, and I think I remember one of the burn club members, they were burning. We had a challenge that was alternative surfaces or something that's not wood, and they chose craft paper. And she said she was very close to starting a fire, and she was scared because once the paper catches it, we'll keep. It's a fire. So just be mindful about what you're burning on. If you're burning on paper, you need to just be super, super slow and low and yeah.
And also be careful if you have if you've got, you're using like polyurethane or anything like, because a lot of that stuff's going to be flammable, right? So if you've got that stuff at your workstation and you're working with a material that maybe you're not too familiar with, where you're not sure if it's gonna catch, maybe it's a good idea to kind of clear any of those flammable liquids, any flammable materials away.
Well, yes, you should be conscientious about what's around you, right? I mean, again, that's why you should be, you should have a fire extinguisher nearby for that exact reason, because you don't know. But it, you should also be careful about what you're burning on, like those mystery woods. I learned that the hard way. But the mystery woods is like, oh, like I remember in the very beginning we had bumped into somebody. We were somewhere and a guy was just like, oh, well, I'm trying to get rid of a whole bunch of wood, and he offered it for real cheap, and we were just like, oh, sure, why not? And we had no idea what kind of wood it was, so we just went and we were like, what are we doing? We're probably gonna get murdered in this place.
This is
And
a great, this is a great story.
we went, grabbed a whole bunch of wood. Like, this, seriously, you look, have you ever looked back on on something and thought, I probably should not have done this, because it was like, yeah, perfect opportunity to have lost my life. Yeah, that this is
Oh no.
So Basha, this is she's
I
underselling
am
this. She's
definitely
underselling this.
underselling this.
So we were at this place over in Charlotte, which is an antique store,
It is an antique store.
and there was a guy there, and he sold, like treated lumber or not treated lumber. It was
Planks of wood.
planks of wood. Yeah, he was selling planks of wood, and
Good
we were,
prices too,
yeah,
which
really
is why
good.
I wanted to go there in the first place.
So we were taking a look at it. We bought a bunch of pieces, and he's like, "Oh, I've got a bunch of stuff from a guy." He goes, "I got a friend who runs a sawmill. I got a bunch of just excess wood. If you want to come and pick through it, I'll give you whatever you want. I'll give you a good deal on it." So we drive up to this place up by, I think it's out by Lake
I don't
Wylie,
remember.
and we're just driving down this kind of quiet road, and then it has this turn down like this dirt road. We're driving like
It was
it's out in the
like,
boondocks, really, really, out in the sticks, and it takes us into this. It was like a warehouse, and we don't see anybody around. And he's like, we text him, and he's like, meet me around back. So we drive around back, and it's this empty parking lot, and there's just a gate, like one of those metal gates pulled up, and he's just standing there, and he's like, "Yeah, come on inside."
it
And
was a
he takes us into this
warehouse.
warehouse. It's desolate, dingy, and dark, and we have no idea who this guy is. The only thing we know is that he has a And
It's like a thrift store.
I mean, in all honesty, nicest guy. Sold us a bunch of wood, gave
Cheap
us a really
too.
good deal on it, and he was even willing to cut stuff down for us, you
It
know,
was
and
wild. It was just this really wild
we
thing.
thought we were dead. We were like, this is it. We've signed our own death warrant. But we're still here, we're still alive.
It.
We
Yeah.
are. I still
So
have some of this wood too. I still have some of the wood that we got from this guy. Still, bottom line is that it's mystery wood because some of it I have no idea what it is. But I remember I did burn into some of it and yeah, poofs of flame.
Oh,
It was some of it was poofs of flame. I was like, oh,
this
okay.
isn't right.
Yeah, I was just like,
Yeah.
alrighty. Okie dokie. That's probably, you probably should not do that. But,
Because wood, well, I wonder if it's because wood is absorbent, so I wonder if some gases
it could
absorbed
have
into
been.
there or some like fumes of some sort. I wonder.
I mean, it could have been. I mean, since it was in a warehouse and like it could have gotten some kind of like sealant on it or whatever. I mean, there's
Yeah.
a lot of different
I mean, if
possibilities that have
there's like
happened,
even
but
if there's like had termites had gotten at it, and if it was like if there was like ground up sawdust in there or something like that, would that
sawdust
react like that?
probably would not have. I doubt that sawdust would have made it poof.
Okay.
It would have to have some kind of
Like yeah, some kind of a
flammable
yeah, some
thing.
kind of a fuel.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it was just, yeah, kind of crazy.
Good remembering to know what you're burning on. Always know what you're burning on, where it came from.
Yes.
Yes.
Even if where it came from is a creepy warehouse out outside of Lake Wylie.
On the flip side of that, though, you can also get some really great surprise pieces of wood. Because I've
This
also
is true.
gotten, I mean, I've seen some woods and said, oh, that looks like a really cool piece of wood. Thinking that it was one thing and like, oh, I just like the shape. And then I've like sanded it down and then it was just like this complete surprise wood. And I was just like dumbfounded at how beautiful the wood was. And I had no idea. Like yellow. I have this one wood that's just bright yellow. Neon, highlighter neon yellow. I have no idea what it is. I've yet to burn on it because I don't know what I'm gonna put on it.
It's
But it's like,
radioactive.
I mean, it looks like a highlighter. It is highlighter yellow. I
Wow.
should look up what it is.
That's, yeah,
It's
or ask
beautiful.
John.
Yeah. Ooh. So,
John, do you know what this is? I'm sure.
I'm sure
Between
you.
him
I
and
should
Chuck.
actually. You know what? I'm gonna have to hunt that down. I'm gonna have to hunt down the wood. I'm probably gonna have to sand down some of it because I think it's faded out again. I'm probably gonna have to
Yeah.
sand it down a little bit, take a picture of it, and be like, "Hey, John, tell me what this is."
Who's
Yeah.
John?
John is Circle 8 Pyrography in the Discord.
Ah, okay.
John
So
is our.
he is a Burn Club friend.
Yes,
Okay.
he makes
Yes. And
miniatures.
okay, because people listening may not know who John is.
That is very true.
True,
But
true.
now they do.
They do, and they should get to know him because he makes custom wood pen holders.
He is
Completely custom. So if
amazing.
you have like 20 pens and a machine, he'll make a little dock insert for your machine and then enough holes for your pen with maybe a few extra if you're like, you know, adventurous and whatever size, whatever shape. He's a woodworker, so he knows all about wood and he knows his wood, so he would be able to tell you exactly what you're burning on.
Sounds like he'd be a lovely guest for the show.
That's true. He's
He would
actually doing,
be.
he's going to be doing an open studio on the 17th, the same day as the Mint. And
Which will be in the past when this airs.
no, but I'm telling you're gonna edit this part out.
Okay.
But I thought about like skipping the reception so I could go to the open studio.
Well, you record those anyway, right?
Yes, but I
Yes,
want to be there live.
right. The conversation, the good part about being live in an open, like being there live in an open studio is that you can ask the questions, and John is full of knowledge. Like he really knows why the wood is the way it is based on the way it grew, based on where it grew, not just what species. Like that's the base most basic information. He goes beyond that, how to cut it, how long it takes to dry. What's the difference between if it dries in the kiln or if it dries en plein air? Like he will tell you all of the things, and it's just I'm very excited.
And that's the open studio I've been waiting for. I was
Oh,
waiting for that
so
open
now.
studio. I was like,
Okay,
no. Anyway,
yeah,
back to
back to
PPE.
PBE. I did have another question about equipment. So you mentioned fans, but you have what you call an extractor, right?
Yes, actually, both of mine are extractors.
Okay, so what's the difference?
The one of them is it's technically a quote-unquote fume extractor, which basically just means that it was made to be a fume extractor for soldering. Quote-unquote. I just use it for smoke. I mean, Kodo. Kodo is the brand, and people who solder use it.
Does it have a carbon filter? Because I think that's the key, right?
I got it specifically because you can, because I can put a carbon filter on it, and it's actually you can change the carbon filter. I have a bigger one that has a
HEPA?
HEPA filter and a carbon filter. That's the bigger one, but I don't use that one as often because one, it's very noisy, and two, it doesn't suction as well to me.
What brand is that, if
It's
you don't
still
mind?
Kodo. It's still
Oh, okay.
Kodo. It's the same brand, just bigger. It's got a gooseneck. I just don't feel it suctions as better. It suctions as well, and it's just noisier. And I'm like, well, that sucks. But that's why I got the razor tip one. Because it's got the HEPA and the carbon.
The HEPA is for hypoallergenic, right?
It's dust
Yeah.
and smaller
Particles. Yeah.
particles.
Now you said the gooseneck, right? So some of them are freestanding, right? And some of them are going to have the gooseneck so that you can put it on top of your work. Which one do you think is more effective?
Preference. I think that goes down to preference, because some people are just happy with a fan. I know a lot of pyrographers that just use just the fan, and they're perfectly happy with the fan because all it needs to do is just suck the smoke away from the piece and away from your face and away from the
Yeah.
piece. That's all they need. That's all it, and they're happy with that. And I
I
mean,
mean,
technically, that's all it needs, right?
well, I feel like there should be. I mean, in my house, I have a 9-year-old, and I would like to keep the whole entire room air clean. I generally burn in my garage with the door wide open, or at least half open, and the fan pointing out the door. But when I can't, if it's minus ridiculous, then I will be inside. And I actually tried to
I found that it's ridiculous. like that temperature range, minus ridiculous.
right,
Warm.
it's not comfortable. So I head on inside, and to be honest, I tried the razor tip, the Razair it's called, and I don't, for how hot I burn and how much smoke I like to make, it, I don't feel like it's good enough. So, and the way it sits, it sits like a little dome with a door, and it pulls the air in, and then it goes through the top, and I feel like it kind of gets, it's just not enough for me. So I prefer to use the fan indoors when it's turned around, and then have that fan blowing into my huge filter, which is also a HEPA filter and a carbon filter. It's the Winnix brand. It's meant for a whole entire room, and I try to burn in like the smallest space that I can, that's like away from as many people as that I can. And that thing will, so it's kind of like going through the fan to suck it away from my face, and then going through that filter, and the filter is much bigger, and the carbon on that is like there's carbon chunks. It's not just like a fabric carbon paper or like a fabric. It's fabric chunks and then a HEPA filter in chunks. So it's really heavy duty. And that I feel like the smell goes away almost immediately. Like if I forget to turn it, I don't ever forget to turn it on. But if I'm late to turn it on, or if I, you know, the smell goes away right away, and there's essentially no smoke. Like nobody, if somebody came into the room, they wouldn't be able to tell that I was burning, which is exactly what you want because you can smell it, it's there. So, but you burn in the garage too, right? So you're
Yep, most of the time I burn in the garage. It's funny because when I've burned in the garage, unless I'm burning really super hot all day long, you don't really smell. You can't really tell. And it doesn't come into the house, like, because I will leave the garage door, like the door that leads into the house, I leave it open, you know, so that the cats can go in, come, you know, go back and forth inside the house and into the garage. I do have the air purifier outside when I'm out there. It's funny because there's only this, you can't really tell that I'm burning out there.
which is great.
There's been times though that we laugh about it. Like I'll walk out there and I'll be like, "Oh, smells like something's burning in here."
It's you.
I'm like, "Oh, it's just me." But that's only when I'm burning certain pieces. It's usually when I'm, and that's usually only when I'm burning a certain wood that happens, because most of the time you don't smell it. You can't smell it. Even if I don't open up the garage door. And usually, if I know I'm gonna be burning that particular piece, I will open up the garage door because I know it's gonna get smoky because I know I have to turn up the heat really high to burn that piece because I know that the wood needs to be burned really high, like higher than I normally do, and I burn hot all the time.
So with these extractors and fans and these other tools for kind of, a clearing the air, do you still have to be careful about the types of materials? Like I know there's certain types of wood that can cause you migraines in particular, but then there's also like woods that are chemically treated, and there's woods that just have like veneers, or they're MDF and they have glue in them, or if you're burning on leather, there's like certain types of leather that is hypoallergenic, and other kinds that are chemically treated. How important is it, when you're taking all of these other precautions, how important is it to be thinking about the materials that you're using, materials that you're actually burning on?
It's 100% important to know what you're burning on.
And never ever burn on anything that's not natural and organic. No stains, no lacquers, no glues, no paint, even watercolor. There's still plastic in watercolor, and minerals and stuff. You never ever anything that is not natural.
Is the concern that there's like carcinogens in there, and then there's like when you burn it, you're gonna be breathing that in?
Yeah, chemical reactions.
You should not be burning on, and when it comes to, you shouldn't be burning on anything you don't know what it is. Like if you can't verify what it is, you shouldn't be burning on it. Like if you can't verify what wood it is, you shouldn't be burning on it. If you can't verify what fabric or material it is, you shouldn't be burning on it.
Even like driftwood, I know it's very popular to burn on driftwood, but that wood has been could have been sitting in like super salty water, or like been in an oil spill, or that's excessive, but you really don't know where it has come from, so it's you don't know what fumes it's given off.
I mean, I got question marks about the whole driftwood thing, right? Because, like you said, they say you can technically burn on it, but it is like there is the question marks about salt content and like what has it been floating in, right? But then it's like, well, you shouldn't be taking driftwood off the beach and trying to burn on it anyway, right? But then there's got to be driftwood that has been properly preserved, if you will, right? Like that's different.
There's ways to kind of clean it, I guess, and same with I know bone or different materials that are natural, like people like to burn on skulls or like bones, and that there's a special way to clean those and to make sure that those are chemical free. And but even some woods, like going back even just to the driftwood, you don't even know what's floating in, but what wood is it? There's a lot. Any wood that has poison in it will emit poison fumes. So poison oak, poison ivy, poison.
Sumac.
There's, yes, sumac is really bad. Yew is really bad. Like there's I have a list on my website, and people have been popping in with like, you forgot this one. So I'm always adding to it, which is great.
Can you
But
send
there's,
us the link to that so we can put it in the show notes?
yes, absolutely, it's there's quite a few that are not good.
I mean, you know, it goes back to if you can't verify what it is, you really should not, you should not be burning on it if you can't verify.
Now, what about now I know that in general you like to burn on wood that's been dried, like you said, either in a kiln or naturally dried. Is that just a convenience? It's easier to burn on them, or is there actually a safety reason for that?
What do you mean, dried wood? A simple answer is trying to burn on green wood is really hard. It smokes too much and it's just really hard. And if I'm not mistaken, like, doesn't it give off? I think someone said that it gave off like a fume when it's not dried. And when it's not dried properly. I think that's more of a John specific question. But that was the general answer that someone had told me once about burning on green wood.
Can somebody ask that to John in the
Yeah, we'll ask John
because
that.
this will be in the by the time this airs, that
We'll
will
have
be
a
on
definitive answer to that question.
that'll be on the answered in, by John in the
In
open
the
studio.
yes. Like we shouldn't be burning on veneer because it's generally too thin and it's generally fake.
And there's usually whatever's underneath that veneer is probably no bueno, right?
It's glue and then it's, I mean, MDF's compressed wood, but it's compressed, it's bits of wood that have been compressed with glue. And it's the burning through the glue that's the problem.
What about lumber?
Lumber is fine. I
As
mean,
long as it's untreated,
yeah,
because there's ones that
untreated.
are treated.
Yeah.
Oh, that like the deck wood and stuff like that, that's weather
Yeah.
treated.
You have to know what it is. I mean, you also want to know what kind of wood it is anyway, because some woods you just wouldn't want to burn through because it's just too daggone hard to burn. You know, a super hard wood would probably be a bear to burn into just because it's just that hard and it just won't take the heat.
Now, does when you talk about wood that's hard to burn into, whether it's because it's just a really hard wood or because of the grains, does it ever become a safety issue? Or is
The
it just,
hardness?
yeah, like just, especially with the grain, like if you're, if it's not a smooth wood, like that, does it ever, that's not really a safety issue as much as it is just a
Pain in
emotionally.
the butt. Right, and emotionally damaging. Emotional damage.
It might make you stop wanting wood burning, and
Yeah,
that's
pretty
not
much.
okay.
I mean, it'll be a dangerous thing when I throw it out the window.
It could hurt other people too.
I mean, from a safety standpoint, I don't, as far as I know, it's not a safety standpoint. I mean, the only thing I could think of is maybe like, because you'd be turning up the heat trying to burn it.
Yeah, or
And
pressing really hard and you could slip
yeah,
or.
right, like that kind of way, maybe it might be a dangerous thing.
Yeah.
But like, I don't, it's not gonna like go up in flames type of thing. As far
Yeah.
as I know, I don't think
Right.
so.
I don't think so either.
Maybe that's another John question to ask.
What about leather? Like, I know that you are starting to get into
Oh,
burning
stay
leather
away from
and
chrome. Stay away from chrome leather.
chrome tan leather.
Chrome tan leather. Oh, please, for the love of all that's holy, stay away from chrome tan leather. I made that mistake once before I realized that there are two kinds of leather. Please, 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 please. Anyone who's going to start burning leather, please. I'm begging anybody. Stay away from chrome tan leather if you're going to start burning, because you will regret all of your life choices
And
on many, 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 many different levels.
make sure wherever you're buying your leather from, they are knowledgeable.
Yes.
Because we have run into this where we go to a place and we ask, is this veg tan leather? And they're like, yeah, it is. But I mean, they don't know. And I mean, I think it's really important if you have. Like, if you're going to be burning on leather, get yourself a good leather guy or leather gal, because you want to have somebody who's going not going to lead you astray.
I that is a very, very good point. Go to a reputable source.
Even wood, sometimes people are just like, "Oh yeah, no, this is natural." Not realizing because they don't realize the risk that they're like, because they don't know about pyrography, they don't know about wood burning, so they don't necessarily realize the risk that they're
100%. That is a fantastic point, love. What we found is, especially when we're at markets, is that like we'll talk to other like woodworkers. We've gotten so many leads about wood sources from talking to other woodworkers at markets. We'll ask them about where they get their wood from, and quite a few of them have been like open about where they get it from, which we're always grateful for. Which is always nice. I mean, we get some that, kind of give a side eye and they don't want to talk. They don't want to tell us, like, and
That's
it's
a little
just,
bit of gatekeeping.
yeah, they're gatekeeping, and it's just like, I don't do what you do, so you telling me where you're sourcing from,
It's not hurting you.
exactly. The only kind of hurting that I'm doing for you is what I'm taking a piece of wood from you. I mean, what? It's not like your source only has five pieces of wood, and me buying a piece of wood from your source is, that detrimental, right? But we've made friends with some wood, with some wood people. We've made friends with wood sources, like suppliers. So there are places that I've connections that I've made. So I feel pretty good about those particular wood sources. Making connections with leather suppliers also, because I am starting to get into the leather. Talking to different people, different leather workers, making connections there also. And I think it is very important to get to know the suppliers and other leather workers because it's amazing what you'll find out about other suppliers. You get the dirt when you just sit and talk. It's a wild how many things I've learned. Oh, that place? This, that, and the other, and the other. It's like, oh, that's interesting.
You're
You
sitting there
know?
with your cup of tea,
Oh,
just
yeah. Getting
soaking it
the
up.
tea. Yes.
Popcorn.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, tell me more. You know, it's crazy. But I think that those are good things to learn.
Know
Getting the
your
tea.
suppliers.
Yeah, know
Yeah.
your suppliers.
Know the materials that you're getting.
Yeah.
And don't blindly trust people just because they give an air of confidence.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
How about you,
Yeah.
Basha? Any kind of tips that you can give? So you were mentioning some of the poison woods. Is it pretty much just anything that has the word poison in it?
For sure to start, and then there's others that are poisonous when burned. So even though they're not poisonous and just as to touch or to be around, like once they start burning, it's the heat that makes the chemical change. But I do hear a lot of people going to like the dollar store, like even Michael's, their wood is intended for painting on or covering it with chalkboard paint and using chalk. So just be mindful of like what it is. And also like a huge, huge thing, because Zona, you were saying like you get migraines and you get headaches, you might not have symptoms until it's too late. So don't bank on like, oh, well, I'm burning this and I can smell it, but my head's not hurting, or I'm not feeling dizzy, or I'm not, you know, some people get a scratchy throat. Some people can kind of like taste it. Some people have like redness or dryness and headaches, dizziness. There's a lot of different symptoms, and there are also no symptoms until there's a symptom that's irreversible. So don't kind of just ignore it. Be super mindful. I think that is a big one. And ventilation, just yeah.
The ventilation, I think, is huge. Now, I know one of the things that you set up, Zona, is at least for when you're using the laser burner, is you actually have a pipe, right? Like a hose.
I have a fan and a tube.
And this way you can actually push it straight out of the garage. So
Yes.
that it's not even being accumulated around you.
Well, I have the Bernadette, who is our intern, our laser intern. We named our laser. Don't judge us.
You ever hear us talking about our interns, Bernie and Bernadette, those are our
Those are our
two
lasers.
laser burners, yes.
They have an enclosure that has a fan and a tube that pushes the smoke right out of the garage. And that's intentional because it does create a lot of smoke. I'm actually thinking about looking into getting an air purifier specifically for the laser cutter. Because they do make them. I just found that out. But I have to look into the price to see. But yeah, that's very important. I mean, it's not quite the same as with wood burning because it's more concentrated. It's more intense with a laser cutter than it is with wood burning.
Oh God, that thing produces so much smoke.
Well, I mean, the laser cutter is also burning at much higher temps.
Higher temps and higher speeds.
Yes, I mean, the laser cutter is cutting at 1400 degrees in a
And
shot.
by the way, while we're talking about safety, and I know that this is primarily a podcast for pyrographers, but a lot of pyrographers, I'm sure, use laser as well. Be really careful with those lasers. Like, if you're looking directly at the laser, you should be wearing some kind of protective eyewear, right? Because
Yeah.
if that thing goes directly into your eye, you can lose your eyesight, can't you?
Well, that's one of the PPE for a laser, is that you're supposed to be wearing color goggles.
Yeah.
There's very specific, excuse me, there's very
We even put like
specific
a little
goggles for
color
that.
shield on it, right? Like, we put a.
The enclosure has the enclosure itself has is colored as protection, and the front of the laser itself has eye protection. Did that on purpose.
Yeah, as many
So,
layers
yeah.
of protection as you can give yourself.
Yeah, I only got one set of eyes.
Yeah. So I have a question, Basha. Have you any safety things that you've come across that you never would have imagined? Like, that was just completely like you wouldn't have anticipated until it actually happened.
Yeah, absolutely. I have burned myself once, and that's all it will ever take. I mean, it's kind of logical. Turn off your machine, pay attention to what you're holding. But there was a moment where, I'm holding the pen, and I'm burning the wood, and then I put down the wood and something catches my attention. I don't remember what at this point. It's maybe a kid, maybe something. But I was holding this in my hand, and I turn around, and for some reason, my other hand, I don't know how this happened. It happened in an instant. And I just like turn, you turn around and your hands kind of move. And the pen was in my hand, and I touched my other finger, and it was super fast. And I was like, oh. That's not so bad. It's got cauterized, so there was no blood. And I'm like, that's okay. It wasn't that bad. I guess I didn't touch myself that bad. And then a couple hours go by, and it's starting to get warm. And then at night, I was like, okay, it's throbbing now. It's not good. And it for two or 3 days, it just felt like a throbbing. And it was right under my nail on my thumb.
Did it
And then
blister?
no, I guess I really didn't touch it very, I felt it. So it was so quick and so light, but because of how hot it was, it just, and I guess maybe I didn't blister because it was right under my nail. I don't know how that happened, but
It's probably why it was throbbing. That's probably, yeah.
yeah. So turn your machine off. Don't look around. Don't put it down thinking that this is a safe spot for it. Like, it takes a second to turn it off, and it's a very logical kind of thing. But teaching classes, I'm very often reminding people, like, no, before you put it down, turn it off. The second you are not paying attention to what you're doing, turn it off. It only takes a split
Yeah.
second, and with a good machine, with the pro machines, those cool down pretty fast. I even put it in front of my fan just to cool it down even faster, put it down, and now it's a habit because that's
Yes.
never happening again. But yeah, something super logical you'd think is a no-brainer, but it's I see it happening very often.
That's a really good point. Like, in the beginning, when you make those habits, let's start those habits early. I agree with you. Like, when I put it down, like, I make sure that I look. Did I turn it off? Did I turn off the power to the pen? Have I forgotten to turn off the machine itself? Yes, I admit I forget to turn off. I've forgotten to turn the power off to the machine, but I always check to make sure that I turn off the power to the pen. But even on top of that, I mean, you've seen I use a ceramic dish. I use my little fishy over there. It's for those who don't know, it's actually a ceramic fish that's supposed to hold the sponge, but it's enclosed, and I love it because I can put my pen inside the fish's mouth and it's basically enclosed. So
And the fish doesn't seem bothered by it at all.
no, he doesn't. She just holds it.
Yeah. She's so cooperative.
What a good fish.
She is.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's great because I put the hot pen inside, and as it cools down, it's protected and it's covered. So even while it was hot, if I leaned over, it's protected. If one of the cats decided to be funny and like walk over it, they're more
Our
protected.
cats never.
I know, right? Of course. They don't just decide to lie across my work.
Never.
No, they don't just plop their furry little butts right on top of it.
You have almost set the cats on fire, though, with your.
I have not. Okay, can we not say that on the pod?
said
Because
almost.
listen, someone's gonna call like Cat Protective Services or something on me.
You've been
No.
careful not to. It's the cats who decide they want to go see what you're doing.
It is not my fault if they decide to put their furry little noses right up to it and then sniff or rub against,
They also
the
like to
tool.
drink the water out of
Oh,
your
Jesus.
the thing that you use to clean your paintbrushes.
He bought me, those the water brush things where you hit the little button and the water drains out
It puts fresh water
and
in.
then it like the water Aesop, for the love of all that's holy, for some reason sees it as, ooh, it's my water dish. Don't know why. So he sees it and goes, ooh, water. And I'm like, dude, it's not water for you. But he
She
goes,
built.
yeah, I had to laser cut a cover for it so
Oh
he
my
couldn't get
goodness.
to it. But no, this cat decided I'm gonna figure out how to get to it.
He was
Sounds like a
determined.
challenge. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he took it
Yeah.
as a challenge. He goes, challenge accepted. I was like, are you kidding me? So now I use a different kind of container that clips. I'm like, are you
Good.
kidding? Are you kidding? That's
Animals
not.
are unpredictable. Like cats maybe even are more gentle, but imagine you're holding a super hot tool and a cat just grazes against the machine and the machine falls. That tool is tethered to the machine and that will come right through your fingers out and will whatever it touches, it's gonna con there's no safety that it's gonna turn off if it moves. So like animals, be careful where the stability, the where it's located, all of that. Like that's something that you
Honestly,
don't really think of.
I mean, I love having the cats around me, and I love when they come cuddle. And if they decide they want to cuddle and they're like, nope, it's me time, I will literally just turn off my machine. It's just like, all right, they're not taking no for an answer.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
I'm like, all right, I guess it's a break time. It's kitty cuddle time.
Yeah.
I will turn it off. Because I
And
mean,
then
picking them up and putting them down isn't working, so
Right?
it's kitty cuddle time.
Turn it if you're stepping away, turning off the main power too, 'cause kids like buttons. If you don't have kids, animals can step on a button.
Yes,
Some buttons are
that's true.
easier to turn on than others. Just not if it's if you're not there, it's not worth leaving it on.
The
It's mean.
I know like a lot of wood cutting tools, they usually have like little covers and stuff that go over the buttons to prevent them from pushing a be interesting if some of the wood burner manufacturers would adopt that, like as a safety mechanism, you know, just like a little hinged cover or something like that that just goes over the power buttons to prevent them from getting switched on.
That'd be cute. A little heavy duty, but I know
Yeah.
some of the machines have a back button where it turns off the entire machine, so the button's on a different angle. Still kind of a visible button, but if it's a kid will get in there.
Yeah.
A kid will get in anywhere.
I know. I'm thinking more for
But
animals or for even just
yeah.
like, you know, like leaning up against it or something like that. 'Cause it's easy enough, you know, if you've got a crowded workspace, and maybe that's part of the safety measures is, you know, maybe having a crowded workspace is part of the problem if
Yeah.
you're, you know, like bumping into things or, you know, accidentally turning your machine on because you've just got a lot of stuff laid out.
Well, I mean, if that's really an issue, then I think the bigger issue is just simply not to let your pets into your space. If that's really an issue, then your pets really just don't need to be in that space.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting, Bashi, you said that, you know, the one of your safety precautions is developing good habits.
Yes.
So are there other habits that you two have developed that you feel have made your workspace a safer workspace?
Triple checking that everything's off. Is it off? Yes, is it off?
Yeah.
But before I walk away, is it actually off? Everything. I feel like that's always kind of in the back of my mind, you know, when you go to the store and you're like, "Oh, I left the oven on." You don't want that.
Left the iron on.
Don't you don't want to leave this on. Making the cord sure the cord don't plug into an extension cord. And if you do, be mindful of where it is. Tripping, like if you trip, my worst fear is it falling, because that it's all attached. So that thing's gonna fly, and it is so fast. Like you think you know it's fast. You're burning wood and you're like, wow, this is burning wood, but you don't realize how fast it is on skin or fabric or desk, or you're not used to putting the two together, and it's incredibly fast and hot.
One thing I like is that, like, when I turn off the lights at night, like, even when I was in the garage, even in here, when I turn off the lights, it gets really dark. So if the machine was on, it's so dark, like, it would be really easy to see if the light was on. So, like, it's helpful to me personally, because it's just like, oh, because I've done that where it's like I've turned off the lights and I'll turn around to make sure that I turned it off, and I'll be like, "Ooh, I thought I turned it off," but I'll see that the front is on. I'm like, "Ooh, it's still on," and I'll turn it off. But I just have to remember to turn around and look at it, right? But it's helpful because since it's dark and it's easy to turn around and look, I protect my surface. Right, make sure that like there isn't anything flammable. You're not wearing anything flammable.
Do you use a silicone mat, right?
I use a silicone mat.
All the time? Which helps it not slide around too.
That was one of the bigger reasons why I got a silicone mat, so that it wasn't slide around. Because I work on an easel most of the time, and that helps the easel not slide around. But even when I'm not using the easel, it helps the piece itself not slide around.
But even the easel you put that grip tape.
The shelf or the rug,
Kind of like the plasticky, kind of like silicone-y, right?
the it looks like a grid, the shelf liner almost. To help grip the wood.
You also have those little cozies for your pens, don't you? Those little grips for the pens.
Oh, the silicone grips.
Yeah.
I use that for the heat Because since I burn hot, so I don't burn myself, because I've burnt myself.
I have a question that may be a little divisive. What about taking breaks?
That's a tricky one.
Because it's a repetitive movement, right?
It is. And you're in a, sometimes it's you're in a very awkward position because you need to get into something and the wood is wood and it's different shapes and it's not comfortable. So yeah, I've definitely burned for too long in one position and breaks are very important for long-term burning, just like in
Are
any
they
art.
very important, love? Like when
Tell
what
us how you know.
like one hour, one a day, like one break a day.
Oh, it's kind of hot outside. There's a reason Kitty imposed breaks. I am terrible. I openly admit I am terrible at taking breaks. I'm absolutely terrible at taking breaks. Should I take more breaks? Yes. Do I? No.
You know, I think
I do
that's
not.
similar across all mediums, though. I feel like I've seen a lot of memes where people, artists who sit crouched in one position and they're just like come out of it and they're just all cracky and all
Yeah.
like, oh wait, what day is it? There's
Absolutely.
just something that sucks you in and you can't stop, and that's why we do it, right? Because it's very meditative and
Let's
you
put
get
it
into the
this way.
zone.
I went to my massage therapist the other day, and she was working on my shoulders and my neck, and she was like, "What happened to you?" And I was like, "Why do you think I'm here?" And I actually booked a session just for my shoulders and my neck. I've always had problems with my shoulders and my neck, but I booked a session specifically only for my shoulders and my neck because they're just, I'm just wrecked after working on Ascension because of the position that I was in. Because of how large the piece was and how I had to position myself in order to work on it.
You also had a tight deadline too, so that's kind
Yes,
of
that
forced
was
it.
definitely part of it because I had to push myself to work really long hours to get it done in time.
Would you say it would be worthwhile to like set an alarm on your phone for every hour to take a break? Or do you think that's unreasonable expectation?
For me, every hour would be unreasonable. Probably because of the way that my mind works. I would need longer.
You know, I like to either listen to podcasts or watch series or something that's kind of shorter that will tell me when it's a break. If you, alarms are good too, but I don't know, if I have something going on in the background and it stops, then it just kind of pulls you out of the moment enough to allow you to breathe.
Well, lately I've been listening to He's been making fun of me for this, but I have been listening to YouTube stories. I don't know, I've been just went off on this tangent, YouTube stories, and the ones that I've been listening to have been about 2 to 2.5 hours long,
They are
and
the trashiest
some of them
things.
are trashy, some of them are just hilarious to me. Some of them are like revenge stories. Some of them are just like about werewolves and
But they're
stuff.
all
And yeah,
AI.
they're all AI. I mean, you take them with a grain of salt. They're not real. I mean, they're just entertainment, right? Anyway, so some of them are like 2, 2.5 hours. So I guess if I like listen to a story and then like when one story was over, took a break. I mean, I guess that would work. Like did it in conjunction with a story, that would work.
I mean, I think most of the streaming services actually make it difficult because they will automatically queue up the next thing.
But you can set it so that it doesn't automatically play.
Ah.
You can set it so that it
Smart.
doesn't. I
Smart.
just let it, I set it so that it just automatically plays because I'll just keep going. But you can set it so that it doesn't.
All right. So,
I actually time my bathroom breaks to those.
See, it makes you take a break. It just
Yeah.
naturally pulls you away.
But
Like.
note that if she said they'd run 2.5 to 3 hours.
But see, but that's when I get into a flow. That's how my flows work, right? Because I will.
You're gonna flow
Pun
right into carpal tunnel
intended.
syndrome.
Well, listen.
Oh
Well, in the
no.
beginning, I was telling Basha, I was like, "Well, I completely lost feeling in my wrist."
And it's
That's
not the first
okay.
time that's happened.
No, it's not. But I also have problems with my wrists. But that's a whole nother story.
Okay. So to wrap up, I would like to know if what your each of your like top, I don't know, top three recommendations or however many you can come up with for maintaining a safe environment. In
I
addition
want
to triple checking,
to, yeah.
quadruple checking.
I want to go back to quickly on to that whole grip moment, and that little foam piece and Zona. You said you burn really hot for really long, and sometimes it does get really warm. I've heard a lot of people complain about razor tips specifically, but other burners too, especially if they're cheap, unknown brands. First story. Razor tip made a bunch of pens that the grip was actually coming off, and that was a big no-no because there have been a few club members who have complained that they almost burned themselves because they could literally grab the foam grip and the pen will fall right through. So when they're burning it, their hand went down to where the hot metal is. One of the people I've been telling them, like, go and complain about that because that's not okay. I complained to them because it seemed like it was a whole bunch of pens that had that problem. They gave them all new foam grips, and they also gave them free silicone grips for free. Free silicone grips for free. So don't settle with like, oh, this is loose. Like, take care of your tools, make sure they are solid, make sure nothing is moving. I guess that is a one of the tips. And then another one on the grip. If it gets too hot, you can use a silicone grip, but some people use like little rubber finger gloves or like two finger gloves or a full finger glove, hand glove, glove.
There's a couple of different glove. There's the like there's the two finger gloves. They use the ones that they hairstylists use those when they're like for curling hair. There's
Yes.
the two finger gloves. There's the rubber. It's like they're supposed to be rubber silicone fingers. Mind you, I've tried all of these. For me personally, the finger gloves didn't work. The silicone gloves didn't work. What did work was leather. There's leather, three finger leather gloves. That actually worked for me.
Yeah, I heard leather is good and is breathable
Yes.
and
And I like the fact
yeah.
that it was just three fingers. And they fit really well, which was the big thing for me because the other ones didn't fit right. They were
You have
too
small
big.
hands.
Yes. But my problem is that I have very tiny hands. So I wanted something that fit right because since they were too big, it was like wearing my father's
Small
gloves.
hands.
Yeah.
Like I have
Good
tiny,
Lord.
I wear extra small gloves. You know what I mean? So it was terrible. So the three leather fingers were perfect, and they actually did protect against the high heat better. But the best ones that I, the ones that worked the best for me were the silicone grips. But there are other, if you don't want the silicone grips, I've heard that the wrap also worked. Some people said that the wrap worked. Although I didn't try
But if your pen though is getting constantly too hot, you should look into the manufacturer, and a lot of machines have industrial pens or regular pens.
one.
A lot of machines have different cords, like industrial cords made for industrial pens. If you're using a regular pen with an industrial cord, you could be putting in more energy than the pen is made for. So then it's going to get hot. So be aware of what you're using. And like I don't often get hot fingers, and I burn on hot and I burn long. So some people are more sensitive than others, but you just be aware of what you're burning with, right?
Can you elaborate on that a little bit? So you said, I know if you buy a cord from a manufacturer, they usually have the regular and the heavy duty. So you're saying that the heavy duty is actually going to have a it is going to draw more power. It's gonna draw more energy into the pen, and it's actually gonna make it hotter.
From my understanding, that's the way it works. It's capable of holding more energy or more electricity, so it can handle it. So it will be more heat going into your pen, which the
So,
pen can handle.
is it a matter of just making sure that whatever pen you're getting is designed specifically for those heavy duty cables? Okay. I think that's important for people to understand, right? Because if they're swapping pens, if they have a cable hooked up and they're swapping pens between them, I mean, that may be something that people don't realize, is that if they buy a heavy duty cable because, oh, well, I'm going to get the best there is, I'll get the heavy duty cables, that maybe it's not a good idea to switch between pens unless they know which pen is capable of handling the amount of power that that's going to draw.
I think also be cognizant of, like, for instance, with the razor tip, you've got the standard pen, you've got the heavy duty pen. I burn hot all the time, so I always use heavy duty pens. But if I have to use a standard pen, it's going to get hotter than a heavy duty pen. So if I have to use a standard pen, I'm aware that it's going to get hotter. And if it gets too hot, like, I know why. Does
Yeah,
that
and
make
you
sense?
adjust, right?
Right. And I have to adjust. Like, I know that I can't burn as hot or as long with that pen than if I was using a heavy duty pen.
Otherwise, it's just going to disintegrate in your hand.
No, I can burn myself. Like, I by mistake once I didn't realize I was using a standard pen and was unpleasantly surprised
You know
when I
what?
was just like, why is this so hot? Like, wow, this is like really hot, and I'm like, ow. And then I realized that I was actually using a standard pen when I thought I had grabbed my heavy duty pen.
You know what would be a good tip for somebody who makes that mistake a lot, would be to take like some different colored tape and put like blue tape around your standard pens and red tape around your heavy duty pens, so that when you go to grab one, you know exactly.
I mean, that's one way to do it. I mean, you could use different colored grips. I mean, if you looked at them side by side, you could actually tell because one is bigger than the other. But if you wanted to just visually look at it, you could tell if you wanted to put different colored grips on it or,
Different colored grips is a good idea, because they sell them in different colors, right?
Well, razor tip carries like five different colors, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, but if you're like me and just use one color, you just have to look at it.
They're all teal.
But yeah, I try to use as much red as possible because, teal.
Right. Did you have any other tips, Pasha?
Yes, one last one. If in terms of like carpal tunnel syndrome and moving and brakes, another really good tip is to use like a little bean bag or another piece of wood under your arm so that you're resting on something. It's not just good for stability, but it's also good for longevity because you can really let the like relax your hand, and you're not supposed to be pressing hard anyways, so you could just kind of use that extra element to give you some support.
You should be as comfortable as possible. Like you shouldn't be in an awkward position when you're working. Like you shouldn't be contorted in a way where you're like, oh, I this like this is weird. Like I'm really bent in a weird way. You know what I mean?
I have to admit, I used to burn like that. I used to burn on my like legs, like in a ball, sitting in a ball on my lap, and just any awkward old position. That was a long time ago. I can't physically do that anymore, or else I won't be able to get up.
I think I've had to do that with maybe once or twice with a really big piece. I think with the 6 foot piece, the 6 foot
Hank's
sign,
farm.
yeah, that I had to do. I think I had to contort myself a little bit because it was really long. So I had to put it on the table, and in order to burn it, I think I had to contort myself a little bit, but it's very rare
Well,
that I have to do that.
you wised up with the last piece. So the last piece that you did was 44 inches by 44 inches. You got yourself a proper
Well, I mean, I looked at it and said, how am I gonna do this? And I looked at it and I just knew that it was going to be a beast and that there was no way that I was going to be able to do it in a way that I was gonna get out of it at the end of it and not be in serious pain. It comes down to the whole knowing that I'm not 20 anymore and that I will pay some serious price physically after the fact if I'm not honest with myself that says, it's gonna hurt. I'm gonna seriously be hurting. I mean,
And
I
it's a
remember.
massive piece. Like that was, there's no comfortable way to burn it. So,
I
you
mean, this was
know.
no,
good. This was a
that
pretty good
was
solution. So she's
pretty
got
good.
this, it's a Meaden, is that the brand?
Meaden, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a what do you call that?
It's a Meaden extra heavy duty H frame easel, and I can't get past the fact that it goes really high up. See, this is how silly I am. It did not occur to me until I was halfway through that I could raise it up to I could stand and raise it up to my level so I didn't have to like bend over. Why that didn't occur to me, I don't know. But I could just raise it up so I didn't have to like bend. And it lays flat like a table. Oh, I knew it laid flat like a table, which is one of the biggest reasons why I wanted this one. So that way I could just I could lay it flat and then burn on it certain pieces. I knew that there were going to be certain spots that I would be more comfortable if it was laying flat. So that was like a big thing. And I was just like, yes. And then when I figured it out, I was like, duh, I could just raise it up instead of having to like bend over.
I feel like you've given your tips throughout the conversation just like organically, but did you have any other tips that you wanted to give?
Protect your lungs, protect your surface. I say get a Lazy Susan or a Lazy Susan or like something to turn it to make it easier instead of like trying to contort yourself when you're moving your piece. When I got the Lazy Susan easel, that was just like to me that was a game changer when trying to do it. It made it just so much easier. And it made it easier on my wrist and my head.
Tie up your hair, don't wear loose
Yes.
clothing. Kind of basics.
Definitely. With the hair, definitely.
You used to use a smock too, didn't you?
No, I used to use it when I was sanding and when I was painting.
Mm.
And that was because I got paint all over myself and glue.
Is that a bad idea, though?
When you're wood burning? Yeah. Well, no, I don't necessarily think so.
Okay.
Personally, I don't think so.
If you turn off your machine and before you do anything else, then you won't
An
yeah.
octuple
run into
check.
that problem.
Definitely
Yes.
double check. Check your machines. Make sure that that's in good working condition.
Wear your mask when you're sanding, also when
Wear
you're.
your RZ mask.
Oh, what's your favorite RZ mask?
So I have yet to try the M3. I'm still on the old school M2, and they don't make that anymore. I don't love changing out the filters. We were talking about this before, and how yours is just you pop it out and pop it in. But I do like the two straps, so the one that goes kind of above, and also the below, because when you're wearing a bun, you can adjust it, and it's really forgiving to head shapes and stuff. They also have different sizes, which is nice because I have a smaller head than I guess the average person, so it's more it really fits nicely.
You know what surprised me about the mask is that I found my mask in the very first time back in 2020. I found it in Lowe's and I got a small because I figured I have a small face. Because they tell you to measure. Of course, I didn't measure. So I got a small and I was like, ooh, it doesn't fit. And I was just like, it felt like it was pinching my face. It felt like it was pinching my nose. So I went on the site and I think I got a medium and it fit better, but it was still pinchy. So I was like, okay, let me get a large. The large actually fit, which surprised me.
Interesting.
Yeah, right? And then I actually got him one and then I figured that when I was sanding, especially when I sand, I will never not wear it when I'm sanding because I did once, well, no, not more than once, but when I had to absolutely, and I was like, I hated it because just the dust, the difference is just night and day. And I have an asthma problem anyway, but like the amount of dust that it like prevents from getting in my lungs, like the breathability, oh, it's amazing. But
And you don't see the dust either, right? Unless the sun rays are floating, you see all these parts and they linger. That it's
oh.
not just like, oh, and it's gone. No, it li just like smoke, you don't see it, but it's there.
I remember
It's
changing
gross.
out the filter and then like seeing it in the filter. It was
Yes.
wild. Like, oh
That's
my God.
actually that's another huge tip. Like, just because you got a mask and you have a carbon filter and it's N95, if you don't change it, it's not going to work. You have
How
to.
frequently are you supposed to change it?
I mean, that's kind of a hard question to answer because it depends on how often you use it,
Good
right?
point.
And like how much, yeah, basically how often you use it. Like if you sand once in a while, you don't have to change it as often, right? So, like, but if you sand every single day for hours on end, you're going to need to change it more often. I change it at about once a month, give or take. I actually write when I change it out, I actually write the date on the inside of my mask. And I
Smart.
will, because I forget, but so I write the date on the inside and I will check the date when I put on my mask just to like keep an eye on it. And I don't know if you do this with yours, but like when I put it on, I'll notice what it smells like. And like if it smells funky, I will just change it. 'Cause it'll get the smell to me. Like this kind of
Chemically.
old, no, kind of old, kind of funky, moldy kind of smell
Oh.
to
Well, you're very
me.
sensitive to smell, too.
Yes, I am though, but I am very old to I am very sensitive to smells. But I like the M3, and my favorite is definitely the double. The first one that I had was the single that went behind my neck, and I hated it. One of the things I hated the most about that one was that it would slip because my hair is silky, so it would slip and it would tug on my nose, and then that would just like it was almost like someone was holding their hand over my nose. So that just made it even worse. So when I found the double, and then I would put it above my bun, and it just held it perfectly. And then the second one would go at the base of my neck, and I was like, that's perfect. That is like the perfect configuration for me. And M3 is my favorite.
Nice.
Absolute favorite.
Well, thank you to RZ Masks
Yes.
for sponsoring our contest. Remember to go to pyrotoastytalks.com. We will have a submission form on the website to enter the contest. It'll be one submission per email address.
Yes.
We will be looking forward to the response. We had a great response in our last contest. We
Yes.
expect we'll have a great response again. Basha, do you have anything that you want to plug?
Everything you can find at woodburncorner.com. All the clubs, all lots of bunch of resources, everything about me. It's woodburncorner.com.
And the Burn Club and Burn Club Plus.
Yeah, it's all there.
All right.
Yeah.
Hun, did you have anything that you wanted to plug?
What do we have
Go to
coming
the
up?
Mint Museum if you're in Charlotte to
Woo!
go see her
Authentic.
beautiful artwork,
Yes.
which when this airs, it should be
Yes.
proudly
It'll be in
displayed
the Mint.
amongst 100 plus other local artists.
Yes. This will air sometime in August, so.
No, I think it's going to be end of July.
Oh, end of
Maybe.
July?
Maybe. End of July, early August.
So, right before Nota Bazaar and Pride.
Come see us at Charlotte Pride. Come see us at Nota Bazaar over on North Davidson by the Y if you're in Charlotte.
And I think we'll leave it at that.
All
For
right.
now.
Well, if you want to learn more about us and you want to see what other things we have going on, you can find Zona and me at bzfurfur.com or on Instagram at bz_furfur. If you want to learn more about the podcast, you can find us at pyrotoastytalks.com. You can find us on Instagram at pyrotoastytalks. You can also find Basha and all of our other good friends over at Woodburn Corner, where we also have a Discord. If you want to join in the conversation, come on over to Burn Club. We put up a discussion for every episode, and we welcome input from our listeners on what they'd like to hear about in the future. We have pretty much a full schedule for this season, but I do think at the end of the season we're planning on doing a Q&A type of episode. So definitely looking forward to input from others about that. If you want to support the show, go over to pyrotoastytalks.com and buy yourself a t-shirt. Haley was wearing a t-shirt on her episode, on the episode that we filmed, which was
Yes.
fantastic. I was so happy to see that. But that helps offset the cost of the show and of hosting the website for the podcast. So please do support us and stay toasty.
Stay toasty.